The city of Kirkuk sits on top of Iraq's northern oil fields, and it's become a symbol of one of the country's most intractable problems. Who controls Iraq's oil and the wealth that comes with it? Recently, that question caused debate and delays in the Iraqi parliament as it considered a law authorizing provincial elections. The law was finally passed last month, but the question of Kirkuk's future remains unanswered. NPR's Corey Flintoff visited the city, and he sent us this report.
The first thing you see when you approach Kirkuk from the north is a tower of flame. It's a colossal gas flare burning off the gas from what's estimated to be the sixth largest reserve of oil in the world, more than 8.5 billion barrels of crude. The potential wealth has made Kirkuk a tormented city ever since oil was discovered in 1927. Today, the city's three main ethnic groups, Kurds, Arabs, and Turkmen, are vying for political control.
If you look at history, you'll find that Kirkuk was always part of Kurdistan.
That's Rebwar Falk al-Talabani, the deputy chairman of the Kirkuk Provincial Council. He's a Kurd, and he says he favors the temporary solution that the Iraqi parliament imposed on the city. Elections in Kirkuk will be delayed until a committee sorts out who's a legitimate resident and eligible to vote. That's not as easy as it sounds, because former dictator Saddam Hussein tried to change the demographics of the city by forcing Kurdish families out and replacing them with Arabs who were thought to be more loyal to his regime.
Saddam Hussein brought in no more than 50,000 Arabs during what the Kurds say was his attempt to Arabize Kirkuk. But since 2003, some 650,000 Kurds have been settled here.
That's Mohammed Khalil al-Jabouri, an Arab member of the provincial council. His numbers can't be confirmed, but he's repeating an often-heard charge made by the Arabs and Turkmen. They say that while Saddam expelled thousands of Kurds during his time, the Kurds are now using the same tactics to change the political landscape by bringing in thousands of Kurds who never belonged there.
The Kurdish political parties didn't learn the lesson from Saddam Hussein. They accused him of being an oppressor, and here they are doing the same thing.
Ali Sadik is an official of the Turkmeneli Party, one of several that represents Turkmen in the city. Like the others, he asserts that his ethnic group has a historical claim to Kirkuk, and he says they won't get fair representation until the real population figures have been sorted out. It's very difficult to assess what the real population numbers are, but Iraq's parliament has named a commission to try. Rebwar al-Talabani, the Kurd, says there are ways to figure it out.
They need to verify the ID cards going back to 1957, check voting lists, and even ration cards to see who really belongs here.
The politicians from all three ethnic groups say this approach could work if, and only if, each group cooperates in good faith. The problem, all three agree, is that now at least no group trusts the others. A senior official at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad calls Kirkuk the headline issue, saying that for Kurds, it represents autonomy, for the Arabs, Arab unity, and for the Turkmen, representation. But he also said that at the local level in Kirkuk, there are politicians willing to work in good faith for a fair solution. Arab Representative Mohammed al-Jabouri agrees, but he says time is running short.
Kirkuk is the key to solving all Iraq's problems. And it's also the problem that could complicate everything else in Iraq.
Above it all, the giant gas flare outside Kirkuk burns night and day, a symbol of the riches that have lain beneath the city for millennia and bedeviled its history for most of the past 80 years. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Baghdad.